VentureCast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, and welcome to Deep Leadership. I'm your host, John Rennie. Let me ask you a question. Do you have your financial house in order? If you had an unexpected expense, how would it affect you? 78% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. This includes high wage earners as well. My guest today is Michael Murphy, and today we're talking about personal finance. Part of leadership is leading yourself first, and that means taking care of your money. This is a powerful episode you don't want to miss. So, are you ready to dive in? Let's get started.
Welcome to Deep Leadership. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former Cold War submarine officer who spent 20 plus years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters. Leadership matters. Are you ready for some real world actionable advice from John as well as his expert guests?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Welcome to the Deep Leadership Podcast. Today I'm joined by Michael Murphy. Michael is the founder of Financial Coaching RDU, a company that helps people get control of their finances. He writes and speaks on personal finance issues and hosts the popular Murphy on Money podcast. He has written a new book, The Missing Key: How to Find and Use One Simple Skill to Unlock Your Best Financial Life. I've known Michael for years, and I love his passion for helping people. So many are living paycheck to paycheck, and this happens at all income levels. If you want to be a great leader, you need to lead yourself first, and that means getting your financial house in order. I'm excited to have Michael on the show and learn from his deep experience in this area. So, Michael, welcome.
Hey, John, thank you so much for having me on Deep Leadership. I've been enjoying this podcast for a while now, and it's a pleasure to be invited on.
Man, it's so good to have you. And I'm so excited about this new book. I've been listening to your podcast for years. And so I'm excited that you've now got this book out. You're an author. And I'm really excited to talk to you about it and learn from, you know, kind of your experience in this area. It's an area I'm interested in. And it's an area I see a lot of people kind of get derailed because they don't have their financial house in order. So hopefully we'll get into some good stuff here today. So
absolutely.
Let's get started. I mean, first of all, your background is in engineering and leading technical sales teams. So how did you get involved in the world of personal finance? It seems a little bit outside of what you've been doing most of your life and career.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting question. And as I was thinking through that, and what actually, it made me realize that I became an engineer for return on investment. So maybe, because I was going to pay for my college education. I knew I was going to go to school. And I wanted to get something that I knew would have a solid, a solid potential for income coming out of that. I always enjoyed math, but honestly, when I was in high school, I was not the student that applied themselves real hard. So when I decided to do engineering, I needed to buckle down. But it's kind of interesting. I don't know where my passion or where I was paying attention to money, where it actually came from or where it rooted from. But I remember quite clearly making the decision on the pursuit of my education revolving around a return on me having to, I knew that I was going to be borrowing money. And so I had to be worth more my time had to be worth more when I got out. So that's kind of where it came from. And then, you know, into my working life, I was doing 401k and stuff, and I'd always have coworkers that would ask me questions, and I just really enjoyed the topic. And so I was always helping people. And then I started a blog, and that's where it all started. I started blogging and then realizing that I had most fun when I was engaging with people one-on-one. And so I started some coaching and then podcasting and just doing some different things around money. And it's been a side hustle for a long time, but something that is been a lot of fun. And I really enjoy seeing the impact that just getting control of money can have on someone's life.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I've known you for a while, and we've always had these financial discussions, and I've always considered you kind of an expert and a go-to, even though, you know, I'm a little older than you, a little further down the career path than you, but I've always kind of seen you as a leader when it comes to helping people with financial questions and issues, and, you know, and the disciplines you bring to it. So let me ask you, let's go back a little bit about, let's talk about your personal financial journey. I know that you have worked hard, you and your wife have worked hard to become debt free, and now you have investment property. So what's that been like for you, and how has that helped you be able to relate to the people that you're coaching?
So I got out of college, and I actually remember, this is an interesting, it's an interesting experience. So I got out of college, I was pretty young, and I was making decent money, and it was my first job. And I remember talking to my manager at the time, and I told him, hey, you know, if I just live like a college student and put all of my money towards my student loans, I can be debt free in like a year and a half. And that manager told me, man, don't worry about that. Your student loan payments, like just make those little payments, man. And you gotta live it up. Like, I know you're making good money, like live it up. Mm. I proceeded to buy a new car and a motorcycle. Mm. So I was just, and I literally, you know, I respected that individual quite a bit, but that advice was not real solid advice. Mm. And what ended up happening was from there on out, until for several years, I just, you know, diddy bop through life and was just having a good time. And then I actually spent some time abroad. I lived in Brazil for a year. And when I came back from Brazil, I knew I wanted to get my MBA. And part of that process was I had to pay, work was going to pay for my MBA, but I actually had to pay the first month. So I just had to like get this $8,000, maybe $10,000. And then I could pay my first semester. And then the next semester would be paid I would be reimbursed. And then I could pay the next semester with that income, that reimbursement. But I had a year to save $10,000, and the money I was making at that time, I should have been able to do that, but I didn't. So I got accepted. I had a year until I actually started. I needed to make that paycheck, and I didn't do it. So I knew I needed to buckle down because I had no control. Like, I was making good money, and it was just all flowing right out of my life. And the college thing and having to borrow more money to further my education when I still had student loans that I hadn't taken care of yet was just like a realization to me that I really needed to get control of my situation. So I actually started a debt-free journey where I just buckled down and made, you know, big gnarly payments towards student loans. I mean, I'm talking like $3,000 a month on average. And so it was a big sacrifice, but it was definitely worth it. You look back, I mean, that was 4 years now, four or five years ago now, and man, no regrets. And so I'd love to get other people to that place. And the thing is that what I've realized is that life on the other side is a lot less stress, a lot less worry. I mean, my wife and I, we have a nice emergency fund. We're able to fund some different things we want to do. Like you mentioned, and we bought a duplex, an investment property, and we're just doing stuff that is a little bit different that are kind of setting ourselves up for a really strong financial future where we're going to have a lot of options to help a lot of people, give to our church in a big way. Just those types of things that I think everybody aspires to do, but it does take some discipline to get yourself there.
It's really interesting. So it's almost what you're doing is not mainstream, right? Mainstream is to, you know, rack up a bunch of student loan debt, right? Get out of college, get your first big job, you buy a brand new car, right? You probably get yourself a really nice apartment, or maybe even try to buy a house early, you know. And but you're getting plugged into the matrix, which is the normal way of doing things. And what you're saying is like, no, you need to unplug from that, and here's a better way. And you found, and through your journey, you said there's a life after all this debt that is a good life, and there's more that you can do with this life if you can get out of that, you know, get out of that, you know, debt cycle.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, the book actually talks about that a little bit, about how we're marketed to pretty heavily, and that people are trying to control our emotions so that we spend our money. Mm. So if we're not really intentional about what we're doing with our own money, somebody else is going to make a plan for it. Mm. They're always working to try to maximize, and eventually you just don't have any more. Like, you can't get any more credit. Your credit cards are maxed out, and you can't buy the other thing that you wanted. Mm. And what you have to do is just release it and create your own plan and set up your own self for your, we're on a leadership podcast. So it's like leading your financial life, leading your family, and knowing that you're working towards a bigger goal. So sometimes that can be debt freedom. It can be financial independence, a lot of different things, but yeah, you definitely need to unplug, because if you just go through the motions, there's always going to be something bigger, something better, something to buy. There's always a way to kind of derail yourself, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, I worked 22 years in corporate America, and I actually saw this with high salaried employees. So people that were vice presidents and senior vice presidents, and you would think that their income level would be high so that they would be very comfortable. But what I saw was a lot of keeping up with the Joneses and a lot of, you know, comparisons, or, you know, what house they were living in, the car that they're purchasing. And so what I saw was high income people living into their, you know, fully into their income level, and their lifestyles would exceed even sometimes these high income levels, because they were trying to show off, or, you know, be something, or try to compare themselves to everybody else. And so the idea of losing control of your finance doesn't just happen with low income people. It's also in high income categories as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen it. We can always find a way to spend the money that we have. If you just think through it, like, oh, I finally got that big job. And I think it's one of the reasons why people are so compelled towards leadership when they're not really ready for leadership. What they want is the big paycheck.
They want the money.
Yeah, they want the money. So, like, you know, talking with you is like, we need leaders, right? We don't need people that are like personally ambitious to get more money, because what they're going to find is, one, leadership is hard, and there's a massive responsibility that you have on there. But then the other side of that is that big income that they're pursuing is not going to bring them what they want if they don't have control, because the big income itself is not going to set you up for financial success. You can be broke and have a big income just as well. I mean, imagine like, hey, I finally got the income. We're going to join the country club. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Now the people you're rubbing elbows with, like, you barely got into the country club. Those other people are driving, you know, $150,000 cars and that sort of thing. And then now you're thinking, well, maybe I should upgrade my car. I don't want to park over here. And then all of a sudden, like, your income is expanding to a level that's outside. So it's like, it just happens naturally all the time. So you definitely have to build your own financial plan and unplug from the matrix, live a little differently.
Unplug a bit. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So you have a new book out. I've got it right here, The Missing Key. I'm excited to get this. So what was the genesis for the book? Why did you feel like it needed to be written, and who are you trying to help with this book?
Yeah. The book is for anyone that's ever spent any money. So if you ever made money, ever spent money, it's a book that can kind of help, just some simple principles. And that's who the book is for, who could benefit from it. Why did I write the book? I think I wrote the book because I want to help more people. And what I've realized is that, so I do financial coaching, and that's a certain, you know, price point to get in there. And there's some people that aren't really ready to make that commitment. Like, they feel broke. And so they're not going to spend $120 an hour to sit down with someone. And that's a pretty affordable rate. I actually met with a financial coach myself. I paid $400 an hour to meet with that coach. So I wanted to see what $400 coaching hours felt like. So, and it's a different level, I'll tell you. But they're not ready for this. So this is like a really simple way where you can get some of the knowledge and experience that I've actually acquired over the last several years of me doing coaching sessions for people that are making $25,000. I think the highest level is $350,000. I worked with a couple that was making really, really solid money, absolutely broke, trying to figure out how to make, I mean, mortgage payments getting missed, like the real blocking and tackling, the real important stuff. So this book is put into place and distills down my lessons that we learned through that process. And it's real simple. It's a shorter book. The idea is that it's actionable steps to move through and actually get yourself on track.
No, that's great. You know, it's interesting. I was having a discussion with John Brubaker, a friend of mine, and we were talking about books. And, you know, a lot of people buy books, but a lot of times they just sit on a shelf where they'll read the first chapter and they'll never either finish the book, or they'll never implement any of the ideas from the book. And So it's funny because his next book, he says, I'm writing a book with only one chapter because most people only read one chapter. So the whole book is one chapter, which is kind of funny and it's kind of unique. But I think what I like about this book, it is a smaller book, easy to read. And so therefore you can apply the principles and not just read the book or buy the book and think, well, I'm going to get debt free because, or I'm going to get my financial house in order because I bought this book. Well, and they never read it. I mean, I think part of the magic of this book is it, you can sit down and you can read through it. I didn't get through all of it last night, but I probably read 40% of the book in maybe, you know, an hour or so just going through it. But, so it's a quick read. So therefore people are more likely to implement the ideas. Is that the thought behind it?
Yeah. And John, I actually took it a step further you'll notice in the book itself, I've got action steps in many of the chapters. And one thing that I do in the book is I actually have a little symbol on the pages where you have an action step above it. So if you want to just do the Cliff Notes version, just skim through the book and find all of those action steps. And those are the things that are going to get you on track. Now, I do feel like the content of the other parts of the book, which is talking about like kind of money mindset and things like this, are really valuable, or they wouldn't be in there, right? I think they're valuable and worth going through. But literally, even to make it even easier than being a short, easy read, is that the action steps are kind of marked out in the book themselves.
Okay, good. So you know, we talked about this earlier. We've got, you know, I think you said in the book, 78% of U.S. workers are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, that is just remarkable when I saw that number, because that means 78%, and that includes high, like we talked about, high wage earners as well. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that we expand into our income level and then we expand beyond that? Is this just that credit is easy to get? Is it that you know, we talked about earlier, you're keeping up with the Joneses? What why do people find themselves living paycheck to paycheck?
I think it's part of like just like human nature, wanting, desiring, having these wants, and those want, you can always want more, right? Hmm. You can want, but then there's credit, which makes the things that you want accessible. Even though you can't quite afford it. And I'll give you an example of this, like my own personal mistake. It was after college, but I wanted to go in and get a $300, like a real cheap bed. And I actually told myself, I was like, I'm going to try to find a mattress for like $300. I don't need to spend a ton of money. I'm just going to go in here. I went to the mattress store and I'm talking, I was like, hey, I need to do this. And like all the mattresses that are like $300 are like standing up, like against the wall, right? Like those are the ones I should have been looking at. But the person there selling mattresses started walking me around like, hey, well, check this thing out. Have you considered anything else? Like why $300? I can get your payment down to like really low. So, I mean, you don't even need to spend $300 a day. So here I am like, okay. And he's like, why don't you lay down? So I laid down on this bed, dude. It was amazing. So I ended up walking out spending more than $3,000. And by the way, I told myself that I got a good deal. And here's why, because I was able to get them to knock like almost 25% off the list price on the mattress and the frame. So I got out of there with like a Tempur-Pedic with like an adjustable thing, like adjustable foundation, vibration, this whole thing. Yeah. It's not what I needed, but here's the thing. It was $140 a month for the payment.
Yeah.
Same as cash, right?
Same as cash.
And so I didn't need to spend that money. And that is money that flowed out of my life. That's $3,000. At the time, you know, I was probably making, it was pretty close to after college. So it's probably making like $60,000 a year, right? So that's a pretty big chunk of what I actually got to take home. And it just flowed out of my life in a simple, like 1 hour experience. And that's how easy it is. And I think that's why people get in themselves in the situation. So if you can, and one of the things that this book talks about a little bit, and there's a chapter called Debunking Debt, and it talks about kind of the nature of using debt to finance, especially consumer spending, which is where you can get in a lot of trouble. And they try to make it easy for you because they want you to say, oh, I can afford that. It's like, you can afford the payment, but you shouldn't be driving a $50,000 car when you make $60,000 a year, right?
That's probably good advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the book is called The Missing Key right here. So what is the missing key? What are people missing and how do they find it? What do they need to do to find it?
Yeah. The core of the missing key is controlling your spending, your the flow of money in your day-to-day life. That is the missing key. And I see it, and so what it takes is simplifying your finances, understanding where you've got leaks, but really, really paying attention and being intentional. So that's the premise of the missing key and what I see people over and over. And so bringing that into their lives with some different different tools and resources, which this book talks through, is what's going to help them kind of get themselves on track and start making progress towards the financial life they desire. So the subtitle of the book is How to Find and Use the One Simple Skill Needed to Unlock Your Best Financial Life. And so while we think that it's easy, it's like, oh, just, you know, pay attention to how much you're spending, have a budget. But there's some caveats to that, because it's not always that easy. If it was that easy, people would just do it, right? It's not that easy, but it's not like a mentally complicated or like difficult. It's hard to execute because we have so many other wants and desires.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Is your boss a jerk?
I understand you're in the hospital, but I'm going to need you to come in today.
Do they lack any ability to actually lead people?
Oh, it's fine. I'll just find somebody else that can do it, okay?
John is offering a new service just for you. For only $10, he will anonymously mail a copy of his best-selling book, I Have the Watch, to your boss with a personal note. Go to ihavethewatch.com and enter the discount code BOSS at checkout.
Deep Leadership is brought to you by my friends at the Bottom Gun Coffee Company. Bottom Gun is owned and operated by U.S. submarine veterans, and no one knows coffee better than the men and women who serve long hours keeping watch under the sea. Bottom Gun Coffee Company has a variety of coffee blends designed to keep you moving. From Ahab's Revenge Extremely Strong Coffee to their morning blend, Bottom Gun purchases only premium certified organic coffee beans from all over the world to create the finest tasting coffee you will ever experience. It's what I drink every day. Bottom Gun is offering a discount to the listeners of Deep Leadership. Go to bottomguncoffeecompany.com and enter the discount code DEEP at checkout. Bottom Gun Coffee, the taste that's qualified. So it's interesting, you know, I find myself almost thinking about it like, like food. Like, so, you know, if you live a disciplined life, right, and you control your macros and your calories, right, you're going to get to your fitness goals. You're going to become more fit and you're going to be more healthy and you're going to have a better, you know, you'll have a more healthy lifestyle, right? You're not dealing with stress and medical issues and what have you. So, but it takes discipline to have a, you know, to have, when it comes to your physical self, right? It takes discipline. You're working out, you're monitoring what your intake, but it's so easy to go off the rails, right? That we live in a society that says, hey, you know, you want to supersize that, right? So,
yeah.
And, you know, and donuts are brought to the office and, you know, there's all these things, and these things taste so good, right? So, and they're so bad for you. And I think it's the same thing with the financial side of the house, right? If you have discipline, right, you're going to get control and you're going to have all the benefits of having a controlled life with respect to finance. But if you choose to go, hey, look, I can get that $3,000 mattress, that Harley Davidson, you know, because someone gave me credit, like when they tell you, you know, like how much do you qualify for a home loan? And you're like,
oh, dude,
wow, holy cow, I'm going to go get that house, right? I'm going to have that giant mortgage payment. So we live in a society that it's all available to us with credit.
Yeah.
But it takes discipline and focus. And then there's benefits if you can discipline and focus yourself to, you know, maintaining a lifestyle that's well within your means.
Absolutely. And I want to kind of, I love that that metaphor on like dieting, and you mentioned like following macros. There's people that want to do that type of macro thing. There's also other people that are just like, I'm just going to be mindful and try not to eat too much. Right. Yeah. So like, when it comes to controlling money and you don't have to be the type of person that's like every tiny little detail and then being so strict that you like completely lose like enjoyment with anything, right? It's like, I think that, well, no, I know that you can still have success with money, but it's about making conscious decisions all the time. So for example, let's say you had a category, let's say eating out, right? And you said, hey, I was going to do $300 this month for eating out, but you end up saying, I want to go out to eat with that couple, and we're going to do that. And we really want to buy their dinner there that night. So we're going to do that. It's not in the budget. You don't have to be the type of person that says like, no, but you have to know where it's going to come from. So what category is going to adjust to make up for that, $150 bill that you're going to have for dinner, sitting down with four people to eat or something like that, so it's that cause and effect relationship that helps you make more conscious decisions about your spending. Because when we just say, oh, I have the money, it's like, you know that you have the money, you're about to spend it. But what does that mean you're not going to be able to do? And what that typically for a lot of people is it means if you just continue to spend, it means that you're never going to make progress on getting out of debt or make progress towards saving and investing and setting yourself up for a financial future that you desire.
And I know because I've followed you for a long time, you believe in the concept of what gets measured gets done. So it's tracking your debt and tracking your net worth and actually keep, not to where you're obsessed with it, but that you know where you stand. It's almost like stepping on the scale occasionally once in a while to make sure that you know where you stand, right? I'm fine. And next thing you know, you're 250 and you're like, I'm not fine. Yeah. So, but you have to also kind of keep track of what's going on. I think in the book, you have some simple ways to be able to track where you're at financially, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then it also points to additional resources and things that you can find and how to get plugged into community for accountability and a lot of different things like that.
Mm-hmm. So what's the hardest thing for people when they decide to go on this journey to get control of their finances? What are some of the things that people struggle with what are some tips to help them keep on track with the journey? Like you said, they might go out to dinner and say, oh, I'm going to buy dinner for somebody. And then they say, well, I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to do this. And the next thing you know, they're off kilter. So what are some of the challenges when you first go down this road? And then, how do you stay on track when things start to derail?
Yeah. The first part of that, I think the hardest part is just, living differently. And people are going to think you're weird. They're going to think, hey, I had this experience when I was in B school. I had a conversation with I was actually sitting at a table. We were all like sitting and drinking beers after class one time. And I mentioned that I didn't have a credit card and I haven't used a credit card for like a couple of years. And everyone looked at me like I had like three eyes or something. Like they could not believe that I didn't have a credit card. And I honestly didn't think it was that weird. It didn't really affect my life. And so it was so natural, but to look at someone else and just be like, how do you even do that?
Right.
Goes to the point that like, we're so ingrained in like this, like plugged into the matrix, go back to that, that this is just how it needs to be. And so it does take living a little bit differently and then not keeping up with the Joneses, knowing that you have a plan and you don't care what other people have to say about what you're doing. I think that's one of the hard ones. And then the second piece is, staying on track is, I actually read this study that said that if you had people, you put like some candy on the table, and these are people on a diet, and somebody eats like one of those little mini bite-sized candies, right?
They're negative calories.
Yeah. So this tiny little thing, right? If someone eats one of those while they're sitting in like a waiting room, and then they're offered a bowl of ice cream later, the people that have actually eaten the little piece are more likely to just be like, bah, I already ruined it. I might as well.
Yeah, right.
And so it's kind of interesting that like, it's just because you make a small little mistake doesn't mean you need to set everything off track. So part of this, actually, there's a chapter that's, or a subheading, a small couple paragraphs about giving yourself grace and how to be like, stay on track. There's a quote actually in the book that I read from someone else. It's actually a Tony Robbins quote. And it says like, what makes us successful is not what we do. So here's what it says. It's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives. It's what we do consistently. And that's actually a Tony Robbins quote. And I loved it because that goes to the point what you're saying is like, it doesn't have to be perfect every time, but it has to be perfect or it has to be good more times than it's not. So making mistakes don't derail everything because if you continue to get back up, you're gonna make progress.
I like what John Acuff, he also says this in his book, Finish. He says that the most important day in any journey towards the goal is the day after you screw up, right? Is to get back on the horse and keep moving, right? Because we, yeah. like you say, we like, oh, I screwed up on Monday, so screw it on Tuesday. I'm going to do whatever I want. And the most important day is the next day after you've kind of not, you maybe you've spent too much or you've kind of derailed a little bit. But it's the next day is to get back on track, you know, and not allow it to go a week and a month or a year, right? And that's the same thing with the weight analogy, right? You know, you screw up one day, it's not going to kill you, but it will kill you if you keep doing that on, you know, on a month by month basis, right?
For sure.
So what are the benefits when you get control of your personal finance? And, you know, and again, it takes discipline, it takes focus, it takes effort. You can't just let things go out of control. But what are the benefits when you get there? And what's it like to live debt-free?
Yeah, so for me, it's been really freeing just having options. I know a lot of, probably some people like, you know, that, actually you have an ad on your podcast that's like, hey, is your boss a jerk?
yes, which I do.
There's a lot of folks that have that jerk boss, and financial freedom gives you the opportunity to say like, I don't have to, I've been able to build up an emergency fund that's substantial. So if at any point I just was like, hey, I'm really done, I don't feel locked in, I've got options. Mm. So that's one of the benefits, is like, you really do have options. You have less worries. I had an issue last year. Yeah. With my taxes, I severely under withheld and I didn't realize it. So I went and did my taxes, $7,000 tax bill. And the lady at the tax place told me that when, She's like, I got really bad news, Michael. And she told me, and I was like, oh, I was like, well, what's my tax rate? Was it lower than this year than last year? And she's like, yeah. I was like, awesome. And she's like, well, what about the $7,000 bill? I was like, I'll write the check. Not a big deal. And she's like, Michael, seriously, there's people that owe 10% of that go over in that chair. She like literally pointed, go over in that chair and cry. Mm. And she's like, and so that's the difference, is like, I just wrote the check out of emergency fund, and we were buying a house at the same time, and I still had enough money for the down payment and to pay that bill and to have some additional cash. So options. And the house we were buying was actually that duplex. So it was part of our investment journey. So, there's just a ton of options, and it's, you get to pursue what you want. And I think that people are typically, and they lean into being generous people, but we don't know how to do that. But being able to be mindful of it. And so like my wife and I, we've got a part of our budget is like giving, like spontaneous giving, spontaneous, but we plan for it. But now, we just look for the opportunities. Where are we going to leave that $100 tip? Where are we going to, where are we going to bless somebody? You know, leave it under, you know, a cup of coffee, as you walk out of the door, you know, and let somebody that has to bust that table, get that, you know what I mean? Like we look for those opportunities to bless people. And I think that more people would do those types of things if you could, but you have the options when you realize you've created the bandwidth in your life. So
talk to me about, I don't know if you talk about it in the book, but what about contentment? I think that plays a little bit, at least in my personal finance journey, is that, you know, we're debt-free as well. And part of it is just like being content and not wanting the next thing and wanting the next best thing and just, you know, living with what you have and being happy with what you have. Is contentment, or how does contentment play into this?
I think it's huge. You're going to continue to compare yourself to other people. And that robs you of any happiness. And we all have done it. I can think of, you know, you've got a coworker that gets the raise and you just constantly, you're like, why them? Why them? Why? Like that should have been me. And, or, you know, they're better than me or whatever that is. But you're losing the opportunity to look at all the blessings that you have around you, which is like something that we don't do often. I actually read a book called The Miracle Morning by, Earl. I don't remember the last name. Look it up. The Miracle Morning. Part of that Miracle Morning is really leaning into gratitude. I think contentment is a result of gratitude. Mm. So you really have to lean into gratitude to find contentment. Because then you realize like, man, I'm really, really freaking blessed. Super blessed. No matter who you are. I don't know where the majority of your listeners for your podcast are, but if you're in the United States, it's we make insane amount of money compared to, like, it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, you're working minimum wage here in the United States and you're absolutely crushing it compared to incomes at other people. So, there's always an opportunity to improve, but don't let it steal the happiness of what you do have, the what you've been blessed with, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think for at least for my family, the idea of just being content has been one thing that's helped us, is that we just don't need those things. And, you know, I, in my personal journey, sure, I've bought everything. I've had 3 boats and 3 sports cars, and I've had some fun. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have any of those things anymore. They bring you joy for a short amount of time, and then you have to maintain them and fix them. And, you know, and so I think kind of decluttering your financial life is a big part of it as well. Just sort of, you know, focus on what's important and making sure that you can, you know, live a comfortable life, but not, you know, not be surrounded by stuff. I think that for me, at least, we've always enjoyed as a family more the, if I'm going to spend my money, it's going to be on travel. It's going to have experiences with my family versus things for my family. And that's been a big part of what we've done.
I think that's huge. I've learned that too, after being married, that the best way to spend your money is on experience with the people that you love. Things get ruined. And even if you buy the nicest, coolest car, the second gets nicked, you're like, oh no, someone got me a door ding. It's like, dude, it's a freaking door ding. Who cares? Right. But it's like, but because it's so precious, you know, it's like that. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know if there's that many things in our life that should, besides our loved ones, that should garner that much care and affection.
I agree. You know? I agree. Like, I think that I finally get over it by buying a pickup truck, because I figure if I get a ding or a dent or whatever, that it's a pickup truck.
It just looks more
badass.
Designed
for that. Exactly. Exactly. And so now I don't have to worry about dings and dents and scars. It's just it's part of its story, right?
Yeah, you just put a little mud on it and you're like, there you go. You can't even see the ding.
Exactly. Perfect. So, so what's next for you? So what, as you know, continue to build up this, you know, your financial coaching, and what's next for you?
Yeah. I'm still continuing to coaching, and that's actually been picking up. I actually thought the book was going to be the replacement for some coaching, but it's been interesting. I've actually picked up some additional coaching clients, which is always a pleasure to work with them and really dive into their finances. So I'm going to continue to do that. I'm actually starting, and I did this about a month ago, my first 6-week boot camp course. It's a group. I'm going to continue to do that. I actually plan on launching one in the beginning of January, after everybody loses their mind spending their money in February and decide that they want to get on track in January. So I'll be doing that again. So take a look out for that. But other than that, I'm just going to continue to work to create resources for helping people, and continue to grow the podcast and have guests on that are sharing good, strong content. And continue to grow the brand and just trying to help folks with money.
So one thing I didn't mention, the tagline on your podcast. What is that? I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's money for the average Joe and those of us that want to have some mo. Joe and more don't rhyme. So
don't
I have
rhyme,
to,
so Joe I have and
to,
Mo.
So I have to say it a little bit funny.
Yeah, I highly encourage all of my listeners to go over to Murphy on Money. That podcast is great. I mean, just you've got a lot of great guests on there. And I think it's really good just to hear stories of other people that have gone through that journey and they've become debt free. They've got control of their financial situation. You realize that it's not weird. It's something that can be done. It's normal. It's not outside your control. You can do it, and you can do it at any age, right? You can do it at any income level. You can do it. It doesn't matter, you know, how much knowledge or experience you have. Anyone can do this. Anyone can get control of their finances. That's one thing I took away from the book. It can be, you know, male, female, married, single, anyone can get control of their situation.
100%. I had a coaching couple that were in their 50s, and they actually were both, you know, blended families, and, you know, there was like alimony payments and they're paying for kids soccer. And the thing was, they weren't communicating with money, and it always had a little bit of tension, and see them work together was amazing. Mm. Because they had been married for, I think, like 6 or so years at that point in time, but they'd never gotten on the same page. So no matter where you are, and what's really cool is that they realized that they had several thousand dollars that was just flowing out of their finances, that without much effort, they were able to free that up. And now they're planning on buying some investment property. And so like, that's been their goal, but they haven't been able to communicate on it. They never knew what was going on. They didn't talk about money. You know, she just saw these checks flowing out to pay alimony and pay child support and all this, and just felt like there wasn't much communication. And now they're on track. So, man, there's just so many great stories like that. And it doesn't matter. It's not just for young folks. It's absolutely for everybody, for sure.
That's great. So how can people find out more about you, your podcast, your coaching services, and your new book, The Missing Key?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I'm probably most active on Instagram at Murphy on Money. That's probably where, and there's a great community over there to engage with. So you can check me out there. My main website that I started years ago, which is called Murphy on Money. So that's a great place to go. But if you're interested in, and you can go there and find links to the coaching services. So Murphy on Money is probably the best place to land. That's where you're going to find the most free resources. And if you're also looking for coaching there as well, but, and then you can also head over to Financial Coaching RDU if you're interested in doing some coaching. So I live at all those places. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I get quite a few messages and responses. But you can also check out the podcast. That's Murphy on Money, wherever you listen to your wonderful podcasts.
Available at all podcast outlets, huh?
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I haven't had anybody tell me, like, it's not here. So I think it's everywhere.
You didn't get $100 million to do exclusive on Spotify?
No, I'm not there yet.
I'm working on this podcast will one day be, no, I don't know.
The Joe Rogan podcast.
I'll be competing with Joe Rogan here shortly. Yeah. So. Well, very good, Michael. This has been fantastic. And I really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your experiences and talking about your new book. Because I think this is a problem. When I hear that 78% of people are living paycheck to paycheck, it means that this book is for everybody. This book is for those 78% of the people that really need to hear the message and they need to get their house in order. You know, I think really being a leader means leading yourself first. It's taking care of yourself, both, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, and also financially. You've got to make sure that your house is in order. I mean, how effective are you going to be leading an organization if you're always worried about, you know, your money situation at home? You're always worried about, you know, can I pay the bills, or I got to get the next promotion so that I can, you know, I can increase my lifestyle. So I think this is a very important message for everybody, but I think especially leaders.
Yeah. And those people that they lead as well, you know, like knowing that they, if you can help them get their financial act in order with, you know, and there's probably some gray area that you need to be careful on, but helping them so that they don't have the distraction of personal finance issues, keeping them distracted in the workplace, that can go a long way. And just helping them see, be grateful for the income that they've got coming in and really lean in and be in their best, and get rid of some of the stressors that come with, you know, financial issues. So,
yeah. So with financial freedom and financial peace comes, you know, less stress and less emotional responses to money, right? Like you said, when you get that giant tax bill, you go, okay.
Yeah.
it's not cool, but I'm not going to lose my stuff over it. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I figured I shouldn't have had it anyways. I probably should have sent that to him earlier in the year. So I'll just go ahead and do that now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So. Definitely.
Well, very good. Well, thank you, Michael, for all of your insight.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite to be on, and I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share so we can continue to build a world with better bosses. Until next time, this is John Rennie saying take care and lead well.
Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information and updates, please visit our website at www.deepleadershippodcast.com or johnsrennie.com. Until next time, take care.
Hey, it's Tim from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the comedy podcast you had no idea you needed. Join Ben, Jeff, and me as we continue our musical road trip back through the years and around the globe. See, just when you thought all white guys were like Joe Rogan, you come across three educators trying to remember when we were cool.
50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Electric.
VentureCast.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed Podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed Podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.